Chapter 2, 7200 West Boulevard Drive, Alexandria, Virginia, 10:05 hours, 2 September 2005.
"You're dangerous, Charlie,"
Colonel Jake Taurine said after Castillo had related what had happened in the presidential apartment.
"If I could figure out how, I'd get and stay as far away from you as possible."
Castillo raised an eyebrow.
"It's damn sure not intentional. And whatever you do, don't call me magnet ass."
"Why not?" "That one's been taken a long time by one of you Air Force types. Fred Platt flew forward air controller covert ops over Laos as a Raven. He earned the name Magnet Ass, drawing fire in supposedly unarmed Cessnas, 01 bird dogs, and damn near anything else with wings."
"Platt? Didn't we just call him for—"
"Yeah," Castillo interrupted before he could say anything more. "Yeah, we did.
I ask this because I don't know anything about the drug trade," Edgar Delchamps said, "and also because I am much too old to play John Wayne. But wouldn't I be of more use here working on the oil for food maggots?"
"No question about it," Castillo said. "It never entered my mind to bring you or Doherty in on this."
"Next question," Delchamps said. "Do I get to live here?"
"For as long as you want. The only thing I'd like you to do is keep an eye on Eric Koshian and Sandor." Delchamps gave him a thumbs-up gesture.
"A good spook always takes good care of his sauces. You might want to write that down, Ace."
He stood up and said,
It's been fun, fellas. We'll have to do it again sometime. Let's keep in touch."
And then he walked out of the living room.
"What about me, Carl?"
Alfredo Munns asked. "I brought you along so you could be with your family and take them home," Castillo said. "But having heard all this, how would you feel about coming to work for us? We could really use you."
Munz didn't reply and seemed uneasy.
"What is it, Alfredo?"
"I need a job," Munz said. "As much as I would like to do whatever I can to help you, I just can't support my family on my CIDE pension."
"I told you a long time ago we'd take care of you," Castillo said. "So that's not a problem. You've been on the payroll of the Lorimer Charitable and Benevolent Trust as a senior consultant ever since we took that chopper ride to Shangri-La."
"Why do I suspect you are lying, my friend?"
"Because I am," Castillo said. "But the only reason you haven't been on the payroll is because I'm stupid. You may have noticed."
"No," Munz said, emotionally. "The one thing you are not is stupid."
"Well, I have noticed, Colonel," Miller said. "I've known him for a long time. And with that in mind, I brought this question up to Mrs. Forbeson. You met her last night?"
Munz nodded.
"And Agnes decided that since you are, or at least were, a colonel, we should bring you on board as a Lorimer Charitable and Benevolent Trust LB-15. Which is the equivalent of a GS-15 in the Federal Service. And, according to Army Regulation 21050, a GS-15 is regarded as the equivalent of a colonel. The pay is $89,625 a year, to start. Would that be satisfactory to you?"
"You're fooling with me, right?"
"Not at all."
"That much? My God, that's 270,000 pesos.
Castillo thought, surprised. Miller isn't just making all that up. He and Agnes have given this thought, done the research, and come up with the answer.
"The Internal Revenue Service will take their cut, of course," Miller said. "But that's the best we can do."
"I don't know what to say," Munz said.
"Yes, would work," Castillo said. "If I retire, Charlie," Taurine said, "will you hire me?"
"If you're serious, Jake, sure," Castillo said.
"Let me give that some thought," Taurine said seriously. "I myself go on the payroll the 1st of October," Miller said, "as an LB-12 at $64,478 per annum."
"Oh, God, that means they're physically retiring him, involuntarily. Sorry you took a hit. So long, and don't let the doorknob hit you on the ass on your way out."
"What's that LB business?" Castillo asked. Lorimer bureaucrat, Miller said. An LB-12 is equivalent to a major and a GS-12.
He looked at Castillo.
After I gnashed my teeth in agony while rolling around on the floor at Walter Reed begging for compassion, the medical review board gave me a 70% disability pension. Permanent.
You all right with that? Castillo asked softly.
I'd rather have my knee back, Miller said. But with my pension and my salary as an LB-12, I'll be taking home more than you do.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
And somebody has to cover your back. Colonel, sir.
I hate to tell you this, but I already have a fine young Marine NCO covering my back.
Don't laugh, Charlie, Tareen said, chuckling. I'm not laughing at all. I owe him, Castillo said.
He paused, then said,
Well, before we went off on this tangent, Jake was saying something about me being dangerous,
and I wasn't joking either. Only you could get us into something like this. You are dangerous.
I thank you for that heartfelt vote of confidence, Castillo replied. And moving right along, what shape is the airplane in?
If you had read the log, first officer, you would know that we're pretty close to 100 hour.
Jesus.
Not a major problem, Taureen said. We can get it done when we're in Vegas.
When we're in Vegas, Castillo parroted incredulously. You want to tell me about Vegas?
I guess I didn't get around to mentioning that, Miller said. Castillo looked at him. Miller explained.
Aloysius is going to replace the avionics in the G3, the communications and global positioning portions thereof, plus, of course, a secure phone and data link.
You told him about the Gulfstream?
Hey, he's one of us.
He's right. He just told Casey we have the Gulfstream, not how we use it. And Casey really is one of us, and knows we're not using it to fly to the Bahamas for a little time on the beach.
Point taken, Castillo said.
Signature Flight Support's got an operation at McCarran, Tareen said. I called them in Baltimore this morning and got them to agree to tell the people in Vegas to do the 100 hour in the AFC hangar. Somehow I suspected we were going to need the airplane sooner than anyone thought. Wrong move?
No, just something else that comes as a surprise, Castillo said.
Okay, how about this?
We go to Chicago and assure the family, and then we go to Midland and either leave Alfredo there or, why not, pick up Munce's wife and daughters and take everybody to Las Vegas.
We get the avionics installed and the 100 hour done. How long is that service going to take?
24 hours, maybe 48. It depends on A, what they turn up in the 100 hour, and B, how long it takes Casey's people to install the avionics.
Not long, I would think, Miller said, as I suspect we can count on Aloysius either putting it in himself or standing over whoever else does.
If it takes more than 48 hours, I'll just go to New Orleans Commercial to try to talk the ambassador out of going to Shangri-La.
Where the hell have you been, Charlie? Taureen asked. Louis Armstrong is closed to all but emergency traffic. They're picking people off the roofs of their houses with choppers, using Louis Armstrong as the base, and Lakefront is under 15 feet of water.
Keesler? Castillo asked.
Wiped out.
Okay. Moving right along, if they can't do the airplane in 48 hours, I'll go to Atlanta Commercial and then Fort Rucker and borrow something with revolving wings and fly that to Masterson's plantation.
That may not work either, Miller said. Hey, I'm drunk with the power I've been given.
You were awake, weren't you, when I said the president said he was going to tell the Secretary of Defense to give me whatever I think I need?
That presupposes Rucker has a chopper to loan you, Miller said. I suspect that their birds are among those picking people off rooftops in New Orleans.
Then I'll rent one in Atlanta.
Same reply, Miller said.
I think they'd loan you a helicopter at Rucker, Charlie, Taureen said, even if they had to bring it back from picking people off roofs in New Orleans.
He paused.
You sure you want to do that?
No, of course I don't.
Okay. So, scaling down my grandiose ambitions to conform with reality, I'll fly to Atlanta
take a taxi to Fulton County and rent a twin Cessna or something. That's probably a better solution anyway.
It probably is, Taureen agreed. I just had another unpleasant thought. Even if Masterson's airstrip is not underwater and long enough for us to get the Gulfstream in there, it's probably being used by a lot of other airplanes.
Yeah, Castillo agreed. Okay, correct me where I'm wrong. The priority is to get to Chicago and, quote, assure the mayor, unquote. I suppose I could do that, commercial. But we are going to need the Gulfstream, and with the 100-hour out of the way. And better yet, with the new avionics, Miller said.
Right.
We have enough time left to go to Chicago, then with a stop in Midland to Las Vegas, right?
Probably with a couple of hours left over, Taureen said.
So that's what we'll do, and wing it from there, so to speak. Where's Lorimer? Does he have a uniform?
Upstairs, and yes, Miller said.
Okay, everybody but Jake and Miller go play with the dogs or something while we deal with Lieutenant Lorimer, Castillo said. Miller started to get up.
Keep your seat, Dick,
Special Agent David W. Young said. I'll get him.
This is where I'm supposed to say, I'm perfectly able to climb a flight of stairs, Miller said. But what I am going to say is, you will be rewarded in heaven, David, for your charity to this poor cripple.